Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Of course, the video stream up and running. You can always watch the show on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, X. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of this show or any of the shows right here on your home for KC Sports 96.5 The Fan. Coming up at 12:30, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, will join us. Maybe you were listening to him on the drive home yesterday after a 8-run loss by the Kansas City Royals. A complete beatdown. The Royals losing 8 runs to the New York Yankees. That's where we're going to start. We'll get to Kags' debut in just a second. But I think as much as we are excited for Kags' home debut and everything, last night should take everybody off a little bit, because this is now a point where you have 6 straight losses to the Yankees going back to the postseason last year. We're going to get to Jazz Chisholm in about a half hour as well. That should also irritate you, I think, as a Royals fan.
I'm prepared to talk about that, yeah.
But like an 8-run loss at home, and for whatever reason, there isn't probably a true reason for this. Coincidence, I guess. What's so frustrating, they had over 30,000 out there last night, which is great. It's what we were hoping for.
Sure.
Considering everything came together, that's what they should have. The Royals have played 14 games at Kauffman Stadium with 30,000 or more fans over the last 2 years, including the playoffs. And I believe this was, maybe it was David Leske that had this stat. So think about that. 14 games over 30,000 in attendance. And the Royals have won 4 of those 14 games.
4-10 when a crowd shows up?
So yes, coincidence, whatever. You have a lot of casual fans that are going out for those big moments. Let's be real. When you're drawing over 30, unless it's the playoffs, it typically is there's something really special happening. A debut, a hell of a giveaway, retirement maybe for Moose or Gordon or whatever, which, by the way, that's coming up on Friday night, the Hall of Fame induction for Gordon.
And the giveaway, I think Bobby's bobblehead is on Saturday.
Yeah, so stuff like that, okay. But last night, there was a lot of people there. That was probably their first Royals game of the season. Don't you think
that's their only Royals game?
Fair to say, and it might be their only one. And then when you go out there and you have that type of performance, I know it's one game in the grand scheme of things, but for that fan, that might be their one game, as you said, Cody, that they go. There's no guarantee when you go to the ballpark your team's going to win. Of course not. Nobody's suggesting that they should win every single time you go.
But it does feel like bad
big crowds.
Timing.
Yeah, big crowds where people are fired up and you're everybody's looking for a reason to get on board here. And then you lay an egg like that last night. That's what sucks.
Yeah, it was I'm not going to pretend. The Royals have not gotten just like kicked in the teeth a bunch this year. But that was one of the worst games they've played all year. Now, I would say there are, the normal stuff. They were a couple of pitches away, right, from it being really bad. There's no shame in giving up a 470-foot home run to Aaron Judge. People do that.
One of the most impressive home runs I've seen in person in my life. Seriously.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Towering shot. But lots of pitchers do that. Okay. Don't 4-pitch walk the guy in front of you. Don't put the 8 and 9 hitters on in front of a home run, or a 7, 8, 9. Don't let them cook you later in the game. And so like that part of it. And then the Royals didn't seem like they had a timely hit. Look, Max Fried's very good. He's one of the top 5 favorites for the Cy Young in the American League for a reason. There's a reason why he is at the level that he is at. So like part of it is just that you got beat. It just sucks that it happens. And like, it's the Kags debut. It's this, like, it felt like it had some like, yeah, momentum and juice. And to your point, I feel like everyone in the city, like Royals every year, the first part of the year, Royals fans spend, hey, don't make us just walk away on the season, right? Don't make us think that there's no chance. Don't be like 2005 and I just know it's fried from the beginning. Give me to Memorial Day thinking that this team's got a chance. Okay, we've crossed that hurdle. But the second part of the challenge of attracting fans when you're the Royals is, give me that little bit of momentum to like buy in. Feel like the whole city's a buzz and talk about the Royals every night, and this is a playoff team and all that stuff. Yankees Tuesday night, Kags debut, that felt like an opportunity gold to maybe start that momentum. And it just didn't, it never got off the ground yesterday, obviously.
Yeah, and I get it. You're right. Max Fried's one of the best pitchers in baseball. No doubt about that. Yeah. He's got, I think, the third best odds to win Cy Young in the American League. He doesn't allow many runs to anybody. I would listen to that more if we know that the ongoing theme of this entire 2025 season to this point is what we saw last night. Maybe not an 8-run loss.
Yeah.
But the lack of production when you get runners in scoring position again. And that was the same thing last night. Same thing. Or when they
first and second, nobody out.
Yeah, I mean,
got the one run off of. It felt like yes. There should have been more. Or that was the second inning. Felt like they should have gotten more.
That's I think why it's not just as simple as, well, Max Fried pitched great. What do you expect?
Yeah. It's and because, the games like that happen.
It's because, like, over the weekend against the White Sox, a couple pitchers nobody's ever heard of still shut you down. It's like, you know, tonight I think it's Clark Schmidt or whatever for the
he
for the Yankees.
The playoffs against
and he's got
guys.
Like a 4-something ERA. All right, fine pitcher, whatever. But, like, you know, tonight, if the same thing happens in terms of runners in scoring position, that's just the theme of the season. This current Royals team, now that even, unfortunately, Michael Massey, just for his own personal sake, injury-wise, he's on the IL. Like,
yeah.
They truly, every move up, other than trading for someone, there's just nobody to trade for at this present time on June 11th. They've made, like, every move that I think the fan base has wanted them to make in season, right?
Renfro.
Massey, unfortunately, is on IL, but I know a lot of people were wanting them to move him, you know, down to AAA. But anyway, he's on IL right now. You've called up Jack Caglione, obviously. You've called up John Rave. You've called up Drew Waters. You know, no Cameron hasn't been sent down. The moves have been made. This is the team until maybe a trade happens in July, I guess. This is what you're going to have to work with. And this is why they're going to be around this 500, two, three games above 500 for much of the year. The question is, can they get on a run enough to squeak into the postseason? That's kind of where what's feeling like now at this point.
Yeah, at the moment, it definitely feels that way. We'd mentioned yesterday that I felt like it was kind of come down to the wire. But some of this is just coming to the Yankees are becoming the hated team again. I am so sick of seeing their smug ass
sure
come through town, and they beat them in the playoffs last year.
Man.
And they were successful, obviously, last year in the regular season against them in the earlier stretch this year. And, like, the ego, like, little things. Like, Kramer, the guy who helps with our social media stuff, was being called derogatory slurs by Yankees fans at Kauffman yesterday just for shooting some video content. It's like all of that. And you're like, I don't need this in our world. Can we just, like, beat them so, like, for a minute you can be like, good. Good, finally. A win against after six in a row, it would feel nice. And you're right. The fact that there was a huge crowd last night and everyone was there. The stars were out for Jack Caglione's debut. Reggie Jackson, Alfonso Ribeiro, who've got my own beef with, as you remember maybe on this show once.
I don't know why.
George Brett.
I don't know why you do.
And Patrick Mahomes. We were going to do a karaoke thing and he stole my song.
He gets priority over you.
He gets to steal my song? He could choose any other song.
Carlton gets priority over you.
He gets to steal my song?
He gets priority over
because
you.
Because he was in one popular show 40 years ago? Yeah.
And where was he sitting last night? Crown Club, baby. So yeah. It's turned out pretty well for him.
That's true. He was sitting in some pretty good seats last night. Old Carlton.
Yeah, look, you're right about the hate for the Yankees. I mean, it definitely has renewed that going back to the postseason last year. And then we're going to talk about Jazz Chisholm in 20 minutes or so. And his comments after the game, you'll hear that audio. Plus, obviously, I'm sure most of you are well aware of the situation at third base, which not really sure what Jazz Chisholm thought Michael Garcia did wrong. To me, it happens in baseball sometimes. This guy's we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
20 minutes, and then we got a lot to say about Jazz.
Talk about Jazz Chisholm. We can, whatever. I'm ready to just talk about it now, but we'll wait. We'll wait.
It's tough because I think when we do talk about it, there's some things I think you have to stand on tonight as it relates to that. So when we get to that, I'm sure we will. But let's talk a little bit about Jack Caglione. He made his home debut last night. And obviously the initial moments kind of live up to the hype, right? Big, massive standing ovation. You had tweeted out, the broadcast was mentioned, the hush of the crowd.
Yeah, so that was
for the next pitch.
That was something I hadn't experienced before. You know, we've been there for debuts, and we talked about obviously standing ovation when he gets his name announced and he's getting ready to step into the batter's box. That all happened. But for a regular season game, I've never been at one where it was silent. Silent once, you know, once obviously you're getting ready to swing the bat. It got in between every pitch, and the anticipation. Like it was intense, and it truly was dead silent. It was bizarre, man. That's how much everybody's waiting to erupt for that big moment. Unfortunately, he obviously didn't get a hit till his final at bat, but
he
did get the RBI, yeah, and one of few RBIs of the entire evening, it turned out, for the entire team. But yeah, that it was just different. Like, you know, I didn't even hear the PA announcement for his name. That's how loud it was. As far as I know, you can ask me what was his walk up song. I have no idea. I did not hear it
of some kind.
I didn't even hear it.
I wasn't able to hear it over the TV.
It was a cool moment, but yeah, the silence part was just something I hadn't experienced in a regular season game. Like for an at bat like that.
No, I definitely feel like it had the kind of energy you would expect for that kind of debut. I'll just say the midseason debuts are better. They're just better. It's more about like just you, not the home opener, not all the pomp and circumstance, not what is this team going to do this year. Last night felt like, especially in the early part of the game before the game got away, that moment was for Jack. Like he was after the game talking about like, in his final at bat, he's looking over there because he knows Pat Mahomes is sitting front row, ready to watch him make his debut and like trying to make sure he did something cool.
Really cool. Really cool to kind of hear the crowd react the way that they did. You know, it's a super warm welcome. I'm thankful for everybody that was a part of it. It was pretty cool to see Pat Mahomes there. So, yeah, it was great. Yeah, my second to last AB, I just kind of looked over and kind of smiled and I was like, I got to do something cool, and then it rolled over. So
I got to do something cool because Pat Mahomes is there. I mean, I'd feel that way at 22 probably too if Patrick Mahomes was sitting in the stands waiting to cheer me on in that moment. But yeah, it felt like a proper debut other than the game itself. He got an RBI in his first at bat. He still got a hit, technically raised his average because he's hitting 240. Now he's hitting 241, a slight increase in there. Made a nice play at first base when they moved the defense around a little bit. The only thing that I saw people being critical of in the debut gold was the right field play. Can we talk about that for a minute? Who is that play on? Because I don't know if it's a Bermuda Triangle or what the hell exactly is going on there, but three or four different baseballs landed in a 10-foot square radius of each other.
No man's land.
Is every single one of those supposed to be Jack's? Is Salvi supposed to be able to get back there? Is India supposed to get over there? Like, I don't feel like it's just Jack Caglione's fault.
No, it's not all three. It's not all three.
Not getting to that baseball.
Yeah, I think it's not all three. You had a very slow right side of the defensive alignment. You know, you have India, who hasn't played second base a ton this year. Salvador Perez, of course, was playing first, as you said. And then Jack Caglione's, what is this, his fifth game in right field or something like that? Six game? I don't know what we're up to at this point in time in right field. So I think it's a combination on all three. You know, if Vinny's playing first instead or Massey's playing second instead, maybe that helps out. I think some of it was it's in that weird no man's spot, but I'm not going to lean on the rookie to, I understand the outfielder would have priority.
A dozen games maybe, including minor leagues out there in right field. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was frustrating because, you know, it was three players that seemed like nobody was taking charge in that spot.
Everyone's just kind of standing
around.
It's
on all three. I think it's on all three of them in that spot. But
like, it, especially because it's like by this time, it feels like you should have figured it out or come to some sort of reasonable conclusion on it. And it just didn't quite get there. But I'm glad he got to have his moment. Now over the next couple of days, he gets to like
just normal
settle
baseball
in.
Now
it gets to start. Yeah, now I agree. Now it starts turning into like normal baseball. Like the text line asks, is it disappointing that he hasn't hit a home run yet? Like, well, yeah, I want to see him hit a home run.
Yeah, I'd like to have five of them right now, too.
It's still a handful of games, and I'll give him time to adjust to the majors like I would have given him time to adjust to AA or AAA. AAA didn't appear he needed an adjustment, but did those things. But do I think he should be hitting a home run here soon? Yeah, I do. That's part of the reason they called him up. You mentioned the runners in scoring position. Some of it is they wanted to be able to get more runs with one swing of the bat. I actually think that play in right field is more on Salvador Perez. I think depending on the first baseman, more likely to get there. I'm not saying Salvi's a bad first baseman. He plays okay, but the range has got to be somewhat limited there.
The lack of speed between all three involved in that situation, that's where I think you do have to question as much as you're looking for the offense. You know, was it just a fluky thing, or is that a liability all of a sudden? Not necessarily in right field. I'm just talking about when all three, if it's that group of three, does that leave you to be a little bit vulnerable in a situation like that? Now, look, they're going to learn from that. My guess is if it was Cags' fault, I'm sure Rusty Kuntz and company, they'll be talking to him. But
can I ask a question? There's two people now in the text line This one says, I didn't listen to the drive yesterday. I had some other stuff going on. From the 913. Man, Carrington smeared your name through the mud about your CAG song yesterday. Did Carrington make fun of me on the show yesterday?
He didn't like your song? Is that right? I understand.
Did he listen to it?
I was given some audio this morning.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
wait,
Cody,
of him?
I was given some audio of him talking about your song. Well, you don't think he was supportive?
Well, he said, smear my name. Well, you know what? Carrington sometimes can be jokey. Let me hear it before I make a
determination. I turned that off in about 4 seconds. I turned that song off almost immediately. I heard that. I didn't even let him fit. You good. You got it. Jay, yeah, you know what, man?
Pass.
What's Jason Anderson talking about? That's what I felt immediately. I heard that. J.A. I was like, bro, get this away from me. I don't want no parts of that song. I'll never hear that song.
Wow. Yeah, what do
Dang.
You think?
Okay. Initial reaction is, what the hell?
Like, he didn't like your song.
I'm sorry.
Didn't like your song.
So,
wow.
So we'll talk about Jazz Chisholm
Rob,
in a minute.
But by the way,
to
Rob,
be clear.
Carrington, at least, is it, Rob's just out there cackling in the background the whole time. Rob he's just dying. Cackling.
I want to make some things very clear on this. It's not that we've never made fun of Carrington's slovenly ways amongst the office where he spews trash and leaves his garbage everywhere. I'm not going to say that we've never. That's perfect music. Is this from 8 Mile?
Yeah.
Clap
back, Cody.
I'll never say that we've never said something about him on the show. But to say Anderson's name, that's an insult. That's a real insult. So I guess just prepare for retribution, Carrington. This song, I got to remember.
Is there anything else you want to say?
Loved this song or this movie, 8 Mile. During the time, let me think about it. Hold on. But I know something about you. You went to Blue Ridge Christian. That's a private school. I'm going to do a whole rap at this point just about Carrington. Honestly, it's not that he insulted the song. Everybody doesn't have to like the song. We come on these shows and Gold makes fun of stuff, right? Gold might not like a song. No judgment there. Sometimes we have differing opinions. The names he mentioned in that clip.
Is that what got you going more?
Yes! Yeah. That's obviously the offense. Is that he's threatening to turn to the station. I don't wait for them to be like, oh, they're talking about Royals attendance. I don't say like, what's happening on the other side of the dial? We're gonna come on the show and bury people.
You don't like the lineup? You don't like listening for the Royals lineup?
Well, I care.
Oh.
Well, I care what the lineup was in 2006.
Ouch.
I'm going to need a whole, we need to get there needs to be a proper beef on this show.
It sounds like there's some real beef.
For a week straight, you need to be Kendrick, because we know C-Dot's a Drake guy, Cody. C-Dot can be Drake and you can be Kendrick in this scenario. That's what we need.
Just going to release my own version of Not Like Us.
Every day.
Not that song. That's what I'm doing. I tried a lot.
We need a stretch of 2 or 3 days where you guys are just throwing some haymakers.
Well, that's cold. See, the problem is that we do that. Eventually, it's going to get. I thought it got a little too personal. He cannot like the song. A little too personal yesterday on the air. We start making it about that. That's the mistake Drake made. The mistake, you don't want to like. Think about your skeletons before you start getting into like a Kendrick Drake situation. Think about when anybody's
there. JAC.
He didn't even give it a chance. He said he turned off 4 seconds.
Yeah, we're suggesting you guys have a rap battle and just settle
from
this
the 816.
Thing.
He said Flat Rob out. Called it your best work, so don't get mad at him. I appreciate that. It is on social media for those who missed it yesterday. It's on Twitter. But yeah, what the hell? What's he talking about changing the station to other stations? We're 96.5 The Fan. We should be. He's always talking about how we're a family. He's like Dom and Fast and Furious every other second. But then the second one of us tries to do something creative, all of a sudden it's, what are they doing on the other side?
See, these are the things that you need to find a way to mix into a diss track. This is the time, Cody, to do it.
Oh, I take it too far. I take it. I see. That's my fear.
Someone just says Carrington's
take
a bully.
It too far.
Some text line says he's a bully.
Interesting. Someone says he's just trying to feel better about himself. I didn't, it's really easy, by the way, to make fun of people's creative choices when you're not willing to take creative chances yourself. Make your own song. Make your own Jack Caglione song.
That's not his thing, though.
Challenge yourself.
That's not his thing.
You know, create something for the show. And then tell me about whether or not, it's easy to just pick on my song versus the other side. All right, I'm going to need some time probably to think about the real return on this, I think.
Sounds like he triggered you pretty hard here.
Well, I mean, he spent 10 minutes on the show bashing it.
It was 10 minutes?
Somebody said it was 10 minutes earlier. They said it was like, they did a whole segment on it.
I think you should also slightly be offended, Gold, as well, suggesting that people should change the...
To our competition!
Should change the dial.
Well, the reason why I'm not
offended... He'd rather hear about three technique than listen to a song.
I'm not offended by that because people aren't listening to that show anyway. So that's why I'm not offended by it, but...
Can I ask one more question about CAG's debut before we talk about Jazz Chisholm? Just a quick fair foul. And I didn't know if I was out of line on this one. I'm watching the game last night. I see Pat Mahomes there. Oh, man, what a moment. Patrick Mahomes there to watch that CAG.
Reggie Jackson was there.
Very cool. All the stars
George
aligned.
Brett's there.
Yeah, very,
Carlton's
very cool.
There. It was a big night.
Is it okay that Patrick Mahomes was wearing a Royals jersey with his name on it?
Yeah.
No, it's not
okay. I think if this was a regular person, we'd make fun of them. If Gold sat in the crown seats with a jersey that said Gold,
100%.
I think we would make fun of him for it. Mm. So the question I have is, should he just be wearing like a Bobby Wood? I'm not like greatly
offended. He's the owner.
Should he be wearing like a Bobby Wood Jr. jersey?
He's part of the Royals ownership
else?
Group.
Yes.
You know? He's part of the Royals ownership group. He was sitting in Crown Club enjoying the game. Yeah, he had a Mahomes Royals jersey on.
Should he be wearing a jersey with his own name?
No. No.
Unless he's playing?
Because you're right. You're right, Cody.
I feel like he doesn't own... Does he not own another jersey?
He should.
Would you be critical if he was just wearing non-fandom stuff at all? Then you'd say, where's his Royals gear?
He can wear a Royals jersey with no name on the back.
So ranking it, I actually would give him probably a harder time if he's just wearing no Royals gear. I think it's better to wear the Mahomes Royals jersey than to not wear it.
Part of the team. I don't think it's bad at all.
You don't
all.
Think it's that weird?
No.
I think it's because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Karloftis had
if you saw Joe Burrow sitting behind in a Reds game wearing a Burrow jersey.
George Karloftis threw out the first pitch last night.
But they give you the jersey.
And
for
he
that.
Was wearing a City Connect Karloftis Royals jersey.
Yeah.
He can't wear that?
But they give you that for
you don't
throwing
think,
out the first
you
pitch.
Think Mahomes wasn't given
no,
his jersey?
No, he's not given that. I'm just saying he's had plenty jersey. Of time to acquire other Royals gear. I was just look.
Do you think John? Look, the only person who is allowed in my mind.
Someone says he can't put on another grown man's name on his back because he's Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, there's probably some truth to that.
Interesting. Okay. Someone says he's part of the organization.
Does it matter? Does it really matter
Sherman
that much?
Was doing, I think we'd feel different about it. That's all.
Look, if JJ Piccolo doesn't have a jersey with his own name on it, then I'm sorry, Patrick Mahomes shouldn't either.
I think he should just get like a Bobby Wood Jr. one.
Yes.
Or he should have been wearing like a custom CAGS one last night, right? That's all.
It's not
or
that
one
hard.
With no name on it at all. Somebody says everyone's fine because he's Patrick Mahomes, which is actually not the, that is probably your strongest defense. He's Patrick Mahomes, so he can wear whatever he wants. It's actually a pretty strong defense. I can't.
Someone says sounds
easily
like Cody,
your strongest defense.
Sounds like Cody would make fun of Gold for having a current jersey with my name on it. I from the media game.
But
what about those?
Playing, but you were playing in a game.
Oh, no,
but
no,
I've
no,
worn
no,
that. Hang on. Have you worn that too? The Casey Current?
Sporting KC. We in the
Do you
KC.
Have other Casey Current gear?
Yes. But I have a Sporting KC jersey with my name on it because I was given it. You're saying I can't wear that to a Sporting KC game? I've definitely done that.
Have you done that?
Of course.
I've never worn those to the games in which
it's a nice jersey. Why would I not wear it?
I don't think
you're also not Patrick Mahomes. So like there's
but even more reason why he can. Even more reason why he can.
I would argue less because like people know who he is. He doesn't need a name on the back, but that's fair.
So okay, on this argument, then every single person that has a stake in the Green Bay Packers should have a jersey with their name
they're
on it.
They're not really owners, Drew. That's a fake certificate. People pay money to have it. They're not really part owners of the Green Bay Packers. It's a Ponzi scheme. They get free
Somebody
money
says
from people
he didn't
every year.
Want to just support one player, probably given. That when he became part of ownership, it's okay that he wears it. All right, fair enough.
I think that's a garbage. I think that's a garbage excuse to say that he can't wear one player because he's favoring the one player. Okay, so
everybody's interesting. Why would you ever wear somebody else's name? You're Patrick Mahomes, and that
argument
I don't have.
Because you support the team that you own. I just think it's sad behavior to have a jersey with your own name on and wearing it around. The jersey that we got from Sporting. The
sad jersey, behavior.
The jersey, that's too far.
The
stop.
The
jersey, I didn't say that.
The jersey that I got from Sporting KC. I have not worn that jersey once. In public at all.
You haven't. You also haven't been to Arrowhead yet. Yeah. You've been here. I mean, that's
someone
not
says
a good
it's the same
comparison.
Jersey you won in the softball game.
It is. Somebody says it's goofy. I totally agree.
I disagree. He's that jersey. He's part of the team. He's worn it at Big Slick. And I don't know what is he is supposed to wear a generic Royals jersey.
Support
I think
the
should
players
actually,
who are on the team playing on the field.
I think he should get like obscure ones. I think actually he should.
You're
support
saying he should
lower.
Wear a General MacArthur jersey.
He should wear like the 26 man roster. He should be wearing Tyler Tolbert last night.
Oh, got his first big. I think you guys are being ridiculous about this one.
I think
you guys are being crazy.
Sometimes I gotta say, this is the one thing about sports that this is like a college basketball thing. Last night the game's 10-2. Tyler Tolbert, who got his first big league hit last night. Congrats to him. Love watching guys get their first big league hit. But he's up with the bases loaded in an 8-run game, and they made a pitching change. Come on, guys. We're just trying to get home.
Oh, in the ninth inning?
We're trying to get home.
Yeah, that
it's
was the ninth.
Ninth inning. You're making a pitching change with the bases loaded to get Tolbert. Come on. We could just get to the end.
I think they're right. Stop gatekeeping the jerseys, guys. You guys should stop gatekeeping the jerseys.
This person just saying wearing the jerseys altogether is goofy, so there's people who want to go way further than me.
Someone says team got whooped 2-10, and this is what you're worried about. In fairness, we spent 3 minutes on this. We saw the show. We have 4 hours to do, you know. Anyway, up next, let's talk about Jazz Chisholm.
Ugh.
His comments after the game. His threat towards Mikel Garcia. What should happen?
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. All right, we're just getting started.
Good text.
Off to an interesting start. We've got Cody complaining about Patrick Mahomes. Didn't think we'd see that today on the show.
I just asked if it was fair or foul.
We've got Carrington and Cody beefing over their song.
That was not my fault. Carrington started that.
And we're just getting started on a Wednesday.
Man, there was some text over on the text line.
Some funny ones.
Someone over on YouTube said that Drew's just doing this to try to find some way to like make Burrow look better. Needs one thing to tear him down.
Oh, no, I would say the same thing if it were Joe Burrow. He should be wearing an LED La Cruz jersey if he goes to a Reds game.
Someone said Drew's calling it sad behavior from the guy that makes Chuck E. Cheese beats on GarageBand. Damn.
Haters gonna hate, man.
Wow.
There's people who have made money on the beats that I make, so you can keep on hating while I...
Who's making money on your beats?
$4 in your face from college. Oh, this is a long time ago. I sold them suckers in college. Somebody's got to make some money.
For $4?
No, it was more than that.
So did they make money off your beats or did you make money off your beats? You were claiming they did.
I should have known how to handle things from past experience in college. I did not pay people to get my music.
Yeah. Okay.
That is probably for the best.
Yes.
Let's try to get your name out there, you know?
We'll get into the AFC West and a signing yesterday that had us thinking even more about what we wanted the Chiefs to do around the draft. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But last night, look, the Royals got their ass kicked by the New York Yankees. The Yankees have beat the Royals 6 straight times, and that's where a lot of the frustration is. But we all know last year, Jazz Chisholm was someone that was booed quite a bit throughout the series. He was booed a little bit last night as well, going back to the prior series in October. And my guess is tonight it'll be even louder. And you can say, well, what does it even matter? The team needs to win. Of course. But part of sports that's fun also is the drama, the rivalry, the hate you might have for another team and all that. And I think Jazz Chisholm has fueled the flames even more because yesterday when the Royals were trying to throw down the third and
Normal MLB play,
Jazz trying to steal third base. Mikel Garcia had a hard tag towards the head. I think the ball popped out before he even technically had an ability to tag him. But it was a play we see, I mean, hundreds of times in baseball. And Jazz Chisholm did not like that. And I believe Yes Network, of course, who does the Yankees game, they had a clear angle and you could read the lips of what he was saying. And he said, quote, "I'm going to tell you one more time." This is Jazz Chisholm. "I'm going to tell you one more time. If he tags me like that again, I'm going to smack the F out of him." That is Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Bold thing to say when the guy's turned around and not looking at you.
Towards Mikel Garcia, but not like face to face with him. If it was face to face, I would have been fascinated to see what would have happened in that moment. Then after the game, Jazz Chisholm was talking to members of the media and said this.
Jazz, how you feeling right now?
I'm feeling better. Yeah.
That was just the neck was just sliding into third there.
Finger. You know, fingers kind of cut up, but I'll be all right.
You seem pretty frustrated by the way he tried to tag you there.
I just feel like every time we have a problem, it's always been him. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only reason I was so frustrated. And then to even see that he didn't even have the ball for the way that he tagged me is just I didn't like it. You know what I mean? So
you got a kick out of it last year when the Royal fans labeled you a villain. Do you still like that?
I still like it. Yeah, I think I went up to home plate today and I told Fermin, I was like, I kind of like it. Like, I'm not at home, so I don't expect to get, I would rather walk up to something, you know, like instead of walking up to no noise at all. Like, I feel like on the road, when road hitters come up and there's nothing going on, I feel like it's just like bland, you know what I mean? Like, go ahead and boo me. You're giving me some music to at least walk up to.
Did they get lucky scoring a couple runs today?
Sorry. Keep that on the camera. You're gonna have another concussion in here. Yes. Nah, I mean, we won, so you know, there's no need to say that today.
So that was Jazz Chisholm from Yes Network. I understand there's some of you listening that are saying, what good does it do to get upset about it for the Royals to retaliate and all that? They got their butts kicked, and I understand that line of thinking. But at some point, how many instances have to happen in a baseball season for there not to be somebody that says enough is enough? We're going to rally around this. It'll bring us closer. Kind of like what happened in 14 and 15. We all know guys like Haas and Moose. Some of this stuff, I almost cursed there. This stuff would not have flown. And that's what I'm wondering. Deep down, does getting in a fight or does it change the play of the team? Not necessarily. It could though, by the way, actually,
but bring you together.
Contreras going spikes up on India early in the season, Classe throwing one towards the head of India. I mean, how many more things have to happen though for somebody not to step up on this team and say, hey, we're going to stick up for our guy. We're not going to let you punk us basically. And you're already getting beat in the game, you know, but I don't know, man. Like I think at some point,
you're with me now
at some point
on this one, at least.
Yeah. I'm not even saying like a fight per se, but somebody needs to have some retaliation. And yeah, I know, like, we'll have Vernon later and I'm guessing he's going to disagree with me on this, and that's fine. Like, because, yeah, it doesn't change how they're playing per se. They got to start hitting with runners in scoring position. The Yankees have beat them 6 times in a row, and ultimately that is what matters. But I don't know about you. I'm just sick, though, of throughout the season. This is the fourth instance where an opponent has done something where, hey, you got to stick up for your guy. And you got a player here basically saying, I'm going to smack the you-know-what out of Michael Garcia. And it's like, okay.
In 14 and 15,
big deal.
When the Royals were trying to make a name for themselves, there were a bunch of teams that kept testing them in this way. Come on. Oh, your big dog on the street, and kept testing them. And the Royals got in a bunch of little scuffles and some benches clearing situations as a result of this. They do not respect you. Make them. Like that's what it comes to. And just straight up, that's what we're down to now. They treat you like you're a clown. Are you going to just let them treat you like you're a clown forever? Because that's Jazz Chisholm's entire energy in this thing. And I'm not saying that it's going to help you beat the Yankees tonight in a winning way. And like, I know reasonable people be like, we'll show them we're serious by winning.
Right.
And I understand this notion. It's gone too far officially.
That's not just Chisholm
in postgame laughing it up and being like, that guy's always stirring it up when he's constantly the one doing it. And you're right, there are other teams. He's the worst offender. But I'm saying, like, tonight should be the moment that you stand on business a little bit.
Yep.
It's time to, like, you know, make a point that you're not going to be pushed around or treated like a little brother or treated like a second-class citizen in this scenario where they can just say whatever they want, throw whatever pitch, cleats up on any of your players, and do whatever, and you're not going to stand up for it. Stand up for Michael. He's saying, I'll slap him. Prove it.
Yeah, he's saying he's going to slap one of your teammates. That doesn't bug anybody on
the
team?
Make him prove it. Give him another hard tag tonight. Give him another, you know, like, give him a little bit of business. Talk, you know, like, force him into the action if you want. But stand up for your guy, or he can say, I'm not saying Michael, certainly, I've seen him in a couple of dust-ups in the summer, in the winter league.
No, I'll take him in the fight, by the way.
Dude,
absolutely.
If it's straight up, I'm pretty sure Michael whip his ass.
And so I get it, and I wonder a couple things with this, because you and I are on the same page with, there's been too many instances this year where it's like, somebody stand up a little bit here for a teammate. When you look at this roster, who's that guy, though? I mean, this is not, I mean,
it really only can come from like 4 or 5
people. They got
a
bunch of great dudes on the team, and they really do. But at some point, who's, you know, where, I'm not even talking about quality of play, because honestly, like, if Amir Garrett was on this team, I think that's the dude that's doing something. You go back, obviously the 14 and 15 team. I think there's multiple guys on the team. Like, I don't think the answer is Bobby Witt Jr., by the way. I think it's Michael Garcia himself. I think it has to be a veteran. Is it Jonathan India? I don't know enough about him personally to know what his makeup is, but like, it has to be a vet. It's not going to be Jack Caglione in his first week in the big leagues, okay?
Why?
It's not going to be him.
You want to be a Kansas City hero? Be the guy who starts the fight with Jazz tonight. We'll stay behind Mikel forever in this town. Yeah, if he's the one who creates the dust up with Jazz or the Yankees or anyone else, I think it can only come from a handful of players. India's one. Mikel is certainly one. Vinny. But Vinny's also openly admitted that that's not really his temperament.
I know that's they don't have. Do they really have those guys?
They have several guys whose temperament I would say is not the case. And then of course there's like the guys who look like they'd scrap, but I'm not sure on like Kyle Isbell,
Michael Lorenzen.
Like Kyle Isbell looks like the kind of dude scrap, but you can't start the fight from center.
Yeah,
how are you going to start it from center? We know it's coming from the infield or from a pitcher on the mound. I will say they got plenty of bullpen arms. We get late into this game. It's a 5-run game, 6-run game. Either way, don't really care which side.
Right.
You tell me Angel Zerpa can't put one in Jazz Chisholm's ribs. Tell me can't throw behind him. Because Jazz and all these other guys, he's acting like he committed attempted murder with that tag. Like he's coming after him. This goes back to like when they were throwing behind the Astros and he's like, he's trying to kill me. And you're like, relax a little.
I just think
it's a pitch thrown behind you, 4 feet behind you. Somehow you'll live. And so, like, Jazz making it seem like he's committing assault by trying to apply one tag to him. Yeah, I think you got to kind of stand up a little bit.
We're going to find out over time and maybe tonight or whatever. Like, I don't know if they have that guy on the team. I don't. I know we think we've named a few guys. I don't know if they have that guy on the team, if that's just not who they are. But at some point, when is someone going to say enough is enough? We're not going to have somebody just punk us. And some of this, too, and this is, you know, depending on your manager. And their own temperament and everything. Q seems like a very level-headed guy, and I wonder if that is also part of this.
I do think they've got a lot of like even-tempered guys, which is not a bad thing.
Which is not a bad thing, but at the same time, and nobody's, like you said, it's not saying that you do this and suddenly you're going to win 10 games in a row. Nobody's suggesting that, but I just, man.
Would it mean more if the soft-spoken guy did it to you?
Yes.
If it's Bobby.
Somebody we don't even
expect.
Yes.
Like, you know, the guys who have not soft-spoken, but the guys who have openly admitted to having kind of that even temperament.
I think it'd be great if Jack was the one to do it. I'm going to be honest. Can you imagine? Fresh up to the bigs.
There's just no chance.
Also, could you imagine picking a fight with Jack Caglione? Like, the only guy who could reasonably step into a ring is Aaron Judge.
Yeah, trust me. I would love it. I just don't think a guy that's been in the big leagues for a week and a half or whatever, a week, is going to be that guy. There's been too many circumstances this year. It's not as much as we're annoyed by Jazz Chisholm because it goes back to last year and the way he goes about his business. But I mentioned Contreras and Class A. This is not the first rodeo, and it's only June 11th. At some point, man, show that you're going to back up your dude.
Yeah,
that is someone saying they're going to smack the hell out of.
He's making Mikel seem like a punk, and I don't know for doing a routine. I want to be very clear. Routine baseball play. Like he was just trying to apply a tag. And by the way, had he held onto the ball, he tagged him in the only place he would have gotten him out.
Yeah, I don't know what else he was expecting Mikel Garcia to do.
Jazz Chisholm
whines. He whines a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah, everyone's out to get Jazz Chisholm. You know, who knew?
We'll see. You know, I will, if I'm being honest, I'm very skeptical that they have anybody on the team that's willing to do it, though.
Will you stand up for him? If Mikel asked you to fight Jazz, are you willing to fight him?
Yeah, that'll turn out real well for me. Yeah,
I mean, you got to try, even if you get beat, you know, you got to stand up for your guy.
Yeah,
I'll fight him. I will not win. I'm not even going to say I have a chance. I will not win that fight.
You're offering to fight Jazz Chisholm?
Yes, if needed.
He's
got to agree to it. We got to sign some like legal stuff. I can't be going to jail over this.
I will be.
I'm not saying let's get like a group together and go stand outside.
Just jump him. That'd be terrible.
No, I'm saying like one-on-one. I'm assuming he would win the fight pretty quick. You know,
agreed.
I'll be pleasantly surprised if somebody on the Royals steps up in the way we're talking about. I have evidence from going back to last season as well that's not who they have been typically.
They don't usually start the argument. Meanwhile, on the NFL side, I think Carrington put it really well. I'll give him credit on this one, even though we're still.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Okay.
I don't want to be accused of, you know, stealing a take or something.
That's never happened for you.
It's also nonsense. That one was nonsense, too.
I thought you were
going to
say something else today. I thought you were going to say something else, but okay.
I'm going to have to write diss tracks about everybody. This is going to be tiring. I only got a couple days left this week. And then I got to
go. You got to write all these diss tracks and then go out of town for 2 weeks?
Or Cody's going to come back with a bunch of diss tracks.
I got to get people time to respond. Yeah, I got a couple of long road trips to write.
No, but during,
I'm going to be in the lab. But
during Carrington's show, yeah, there was some news in the AFC West.
That the Denver Broncos assigned J.K. Dobbins. And I think we all had this very similar thought is the Denver Broncos did exactly what we wanted the Kansas City Chiefs to do. Draft a guy in the third round, bring in the vet you could trust. In our case, it wouldn't even bring in the vet. It was just have Isaiah Pacheco, you know, to go with it and then kind of create this running back room. So, yeah, I was jealous yesterday when I watched the Broncos sign J.K. Dobbins to go with R.J. Harvey. And look, I don't think you can worry about J.K. Dobbins yet because until he gets through 8 games of football, I'm not going to like panic over here about how well he looked in the games he played. He did look good in the games he played last year. He was an effective running back when he played. He had almost 900 yards. He outran anybody in the Chiefs roster by a long shot. He actually played in 13 games before, eventually, unfortunately, suffering another injury. But here's the game's last 3 years in the league. 8-1-13. And he ended his season again in a season-ending injury to end his time in the league. So it's hard to be like, oh, no, what are they going to do? But that's the exact plan. It's like better than the Chiefs' plan of Isaiah Pacheco and Elijah Mitchell. If you could flip right now, you'd take R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins. That's the problem.
My real issue is just with, I don't know for another full season what you're going to get out of Kareem Hunt. And I know he ended up helping them quite a bit in the backfield last year. He came off the street, and thank goodness they were able to bring him in because they would have been in big trouble in the backfield after the Pacheco injury. So it's not knocking what he did last year, but there are limitations. There's explosiveness that's just not there anymore. And he's also now another year older. And so, yeah, I wanted him to spend a premium pick on a running back. And, well, you know, when it comes to J.K. Dobbins, I was on the J.K. Dobbins train last offseason. I wanted him. So I obviously just wanted J.K. Dobbins in Kansas City. Going back to last year when they brought Clyde back, I preferred having J.K. Dobbins on the team over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Look, does this mean that the Broncos now are going to be some unstoppable force? Of course not. But I like their running back plan in the offseason. That's okay. That's okay to say, by the way. It doesn't mean you think the Broncos are better, but I like their plan at running back better.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's not, I don't think that they're better run or have a better GM or coach or quarterback or any of those other things. They did what I wanted the Chiefs to do. And look, there are always limitations, right? By the time they came, and they had other needs, right? And they decided to attack the defensive line with Gelati and Norman Lott instead of going with a running back early in this edge. And they probably have some faith that Isaiah Pacheco can return closer to the form he was 2 years ago. But like J.K. Dobbins is even the better injured running back to take a chance on. This goes back to some of the stuff that Drew had mentioned. And I think the rest of it mentioned on the show was like, why were you in such a hurry on Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt? I would much rather you had spent your money on J.K. Dobbins. And I'm even telling you, I'm not sure he'll stay healthy.
They brought J.K. Dobbins in for a visit last year. Remember, and that same day is when they signed Clyde. So they did medical work last year on J.K. Dobbins. No. They brought him in. Remember, I'm talking about the off. Like,
this, oh yeah, you're right. I apologize.
It was like in March last year. Yeah. They brought in J.K. Dobbins, and then that day they signed Clyde. I think they were just using it as leverage to
maybe
get
Dobbins
done,
doesn't want to be here, and that's part of it. And you're never going to convince him based on the conversations you had last year. But it just feels like the better injured running back to take a chance on. And it just kind of goes back to what we said in the draft, which is I would have liked them to put more resources into that position. In a year in which everyone was like, this is the year to get a starting running back. There's 15 of them. I saw somebody already sending out the, here's our, you know, our dynasty fantasy draft. I don't know why they're doing it in June. Wild time to do a fantasy draft.
Some people will do a rookie one right after the draft, like where you can start drafting the rookie portion of it.
Man, really?
Some people will do those right after the draft.
So early.
Yeah. Some people like to make it year round. It's a dynasty year round, you know?
For the one like, real true. I'm in a few that are like dynasty in more the sense like you can own more of your players versus just a league where I can keep a guy. About draft dates in August, but we didn't have a draft in June.
Yeah, we're working on some stuff, by the way. We're hoping to bring the Guillotine League back. We've got to make some alterations to it. Some new hurdles, but we're hoping to have the Guillotine League again in August.
Man, I'm a diss track on what were lawyers. That's gonna be my final one for the week, Drew. Drew's gonna keep that one from ever airing. Wisely, so I think. I look at their plan, and I'm a little envious. That's all. I'm just a little envious. We can talk more about it in the Chiefs right half hour because I think something Dominique Foxworth brought up I thought was interesting, but could at least play somewhat of a factor.
Here in about 4 days or so, Rich Hill who is, what, 45 years old and is in AAA. Remember when he signed?
Pitched really well in AAA in his last game,
remember, Dick Mountain. That's his nickname. That's his real nickname. He is in the minors. He has an opt-out on June 15th. And this is more just kind of a crazy, like, I'm just curious to see what happens. Do we actually see a 45-year-old pitching at some point? We joked when he signed, like, hey, something went terribly wrong if he pitches. He can opt out if he's not on the big league club on June 15th. Based on the injuries and the bullpen and stuff, do you
think... They gave him an early opt-out, Rich Hill. Yeah. I mean, there somebody, have
another
job.
Is there somebody else that would sign him? Otherwise, like, he can opt out, but somebody else... You would only do that if you thought you had an opportunity somewhere else. Or do the Royals say, oh, well, you can come up and be in our bullpen for a little bit.
I mean, if Richards... It seems like they're kind of in an impasse here at a moment where...
Oh, well, Richards is going to be a DFA.
Until Urseg is back, is there a... I guess, you know, like, until Urseg is back... Is there just like a couple of games where you squeeze him in? Isn't Urseg already in the middle of his rehab assignment?
Yes, I believe so.
Like, that's the only question. Also, why is he opting out? Opting out for who? Nobody's saying
he's opting out. There is a opt out in the deal on June 15th. He can make that decision if he wants to. If there's another opportunity somewhere else, he might. Otherwise, he'll keep pitching in the minors.
He has now made two starts in AAA. He went six scoreless innings in his last start for the Storm Chasers, only allowed allowed no runs and six strikeouts and only allowed one hit.
He's 45.
In his previous start, he went five innings, allowed three earned runs and five hits. So he's actually been pretty good.
I'll tell you, when I was in Omaha, all I know is when he was walking towards the dugout, I legit thought it was the pitching coach or something. He seeing him stand next to Jack Caglione in Omaha was a pretty funny thing. It could have been his father.
Two starts, 11 innings, and a 2.45 ERA, Gold. I mean, does he need to make a start for the team? I'm joking. Please.
No, I'm joking.
Also, like, just figure out a way
Someone says call up Rich Hill. Call up Rich Hill if you could early enough, and he can be the guy that just tries to fight Chisholm tonight.
Oh, designated fighter.
He can throw at him. Just be done with it, you know?
The 45-year-old? He understands old school baseball.
Yeah, just have him throw.
If you're 45 years old, you walked through some moments where...
Dad strength.
Retribution was occurred. It would feel a little bit like when Nolan Ryan... Maybe we could get another, like, old guy body slams Robin Ventura moment. You know, Jazz Chisholm comes up to try to get the 45-year-old because he, you know, because I think Jazz Chisholm's more willing to talk than actually fight. And so he tries to start a fight with Rich Hill, the one guy he thinks he can win the fight against, and he suplexes him. Please. Nothing would bring me more joy.
There'll be some, not Rich Hill tonight, but there'll be some move tonight because my guess is Richards will get DFA'd, and then maybe it's Urseg today, maybe it's Urseg later on in the series. But Richards is, I mean, he was just going to wear the innings last night at the end there.
Yeah.
Although Taylor Clark, it sounds like he might be tipping pitches.
Work on that before the next time he comes out. Yeah. What was the rumor? Who started that? Who started talking about that? They were talking
social
about the
media.
Yeah. Talking about the way he like holds his glove.
On a slider versus a changeup. He was doing something that every time he threw the slider, again, that is just
that
a social media thing. But, it wouldn't be the first time, you know, somebody was tipping their pitches in that way. They didn't know it.
You're gonna
should
get
be correctable.
Rich Hill shirts made if he's out there for his debut for Royals.
With shirts that say Dick Mountain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll get it made by the same person who made the Meatballs Go Pasta La Vista shirts. That way we just got two. You and Dusty out there.
Yeah.
Supporting, because you got to see him. Oh, you didn't get to see him pitch.
No,
you just
he pitched
saw
on
him
Sunday.
In Omaha.
No, when in Omaha, I did not. We were there Friday and Saturday. He pitched on that Sunday.
Got it.
Yeah. But I saw him walk towards the dugout and it was like, wait. I mean, I swear you would have thought he was just the pitching coach or the man. I knew he wasn't the manager because that's Jersh, but like, you would have thought he was a pitching coach.
I got to see what he looks like today.
I mean, he looks like a normal 45-year-old dad.
Just like a regular dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he definitely just looks like a regular dude.
All I can think of is the movie The Rookie. That's all I can think of this entire time. The movie The Rookie, and Dennis Quaid is going to pitch at some point.
I got to say, man, I like a guy who loves baseball. Because there's no other reason to be signing minor league contracts at the age of 44. Unless you're dead set on tying that record for most teams played for in Major League Baseball history or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he'd tie the record for most teams played for if he managed to get to the big league roster and pitch for the Royals at some point this year. Although, again, six scoreless innings, there are a lot of teams who do not have enough. Like, the Dodgers have gone through, like, 78 injured guys, although he's already pitched for the Dodgers, I think, at some point in his career. To find a new team would be tough.
Yes, definitely pitched for the Dodgers, where he got a nice little contract.
Pitched for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, something like that, different teams. Half of baseball,
hell of
man.
A career, man.
Half of baseball.
Hell of a career. So we'll see. June 15th, something might happen with that. Up next, though, what could happen closer to the trade deadline? 12 names that are out there who could interest you a little bit, and something the Royals will not do again until the end of July. We'll explain what that is next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.